Barry, Connie, and Lily. Sorry about that feedback issue there. Good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning? I'm going to try to use my laptop this morning. If it's distracting, please let me know, and I will figure something else out. Again, I'm trying to limit the amount of paper I use and waste. Can I just say I love you guys?
Love you.
I really, really do love each and every one of you. From the ways in which you mentor me, the conversations we have, just the whole atmosphere. I love it, and I'm overwhelmed that I get to serve you guys as pastor. That's not part of my sermon. I just wanted to say that. So I just love you. Please know that. Each and every one of you. You're super special to me. So I'm excited this morning because not only did we gather together for breakfast, we also get to gather together for another meal and sharing communion later in this service. And as it is World Communion Sunday, we get to participate in the same communion as millions of other Christians across the globe. Just think about that. Millions of people are doing communion this morning. And if that is not a picture of unity that overcomes all division, I don't know what is a clearer picture of the body, amen? Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are the reason we are here, Jesus. And I pray that as we come to you this morning, may we find peace. May we find wholeness in our broken lives. May we find satisfaction where our hearts thirst. And I pray that as we get into your word this morning, may your living word that is Christ get into us so that we might walk out of here transformed, different than when we walked in. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you anoint me and that my words might fall to the ground, but your words rise up. My words can't change anyone's heart, but your word has changed millions. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When Adam sinned, can you turn it down somehow? Okay, let's start again. Sorry about that. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, and death spread to everyone. When I read that, that simply seems unfair. Because one man sinned, everyone has to suffer the consequences. Because Adam sinned, death spread to everyone. Does that seem fair? Does it seem fair, church?
No.
See, when I read this, I was immediately transported back to my ninth grade Spanish class with Mrs. O'Brien. And I'll never forget Mrs. O'Brien because she believed that Spanish was best learned by repetition, repetition, repetition. So that's how we learned. And we'd always have to, every time we learned a new verb conjugation, we would have to write it out. Somewhere between 10 and 15 times, Mrs. O'Brien had this special rule that I'll never forget. It's that if one person didn't do their homework, the whole class suffered. Specifically, if one person didn't do their homework, what you had to do is double what you did the night before. So if it was 10, the next night was 20. If it was 15, the next time was 30. And the problem was that every time someone didn't do their homework, it doubled. So there were some nights I would come home and write the same thing 60 times. All because someone else didn't do their homework. Is that fair? Why should we suffer because of someone's disobedience? Do you ever feel like that? Does that ever happen in your life? Where someone else messes up and you have to pay for it? Maybe it's at your job where someone doesn't do their job right and then you have to go behind them and clean up their mess. Amen. Yeah. Well, you're done with that now, Barry, so praise the Lord. Or maybe because someone didn't do their job, whether it's at your work or on the farm, you can't do what you need to do properly. This happens all the time at Sailors. See, when we get a new item into Sailors, what they have to do is they put the item code in the system so that when you scan the item, the price rings up and you're able to move forward. But if someone doesn't put that code in the system, when we scan it, the cash register, it yells at us. It goes, beep, 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 item not on file. And then all of a sudden, the customer goes, what? What's going on? I thought it was $2.99. And all of a sudden, it's our fault. But we didn't really do anything wrong. So when I look at this verse, I feel the same way. I think Genesis chapter 3, Adam sinned and the whole world broke. Sin came into the world and everything is now tainted. It tore everything apart. But why do we have to suffer? Because Adam bit the apple first. Yet I want us to look at verse 12. Does it say that it's all Adam's fault? Isaac, can you read verse 12 for me? Romans 5, chapter 12. I mean Romans 5, verse 12. So is it all Adam's fault? What's the last three words, Isaac? Because all have sinned. You see, think of it like this. It's like Adam was the captain of the Titanic, right? We all know the Titanic. And he took the world and crushed it into this big iceberg called sin. And now we are all on the same sinking ship. And yet it's not one person's problem, but everyone's problem. See, there's a simple test to see if you've been infected by sin. You want to know what it is? All you have to do is ask yourself, have I made any wrong decisions this week? Have I had any unkind thoughts? Have I been selfish or mad even for a moment? If that doesn't fit, just ask yourself, am I perfect? If we're honest, we all have to answer, yes, we've done something wrong. To sin is to miss the mark, to be less than perfect. We've all been infected with this disease called sin. It's like an unstoppable plague. Paul says in verse 14 that even before the law was given, people sinned. We tend to think of sin as breaking the law, right? Or breaking a rule. But what Paul's saying here, it's deeper than just that. Sin infected everyone, even before the rules came into play. So sin isn't just breaking a rule or breaking the law. It's an infection that leads to death. Long story short, we're all in the same boat. We're all sinking. We can't blame it on Adam. We can't blame it on Adam who's not here. We can't blame it on anyone else for that fact. We're all in the same boat. Our boat is sinking. Water's coming in. And we're headed to the abyss. Yet in verse 14, Paul says Adam is a symbol. And I think Paul means that Adam represented all of humanity as all of humanity has sinned. But he also says that Adam is a representation of Christ. And here's where it gets really good. So Adam over here, he's the sinner, the one who took the bite of the apple that caused all the problems. But over here we have this gift that God's given. And Paul's saying that although we have this man over here that did such great sin, we have this gift that its benefits outweigh the sin. We're all in Adam's boat. We're all rebels and sinners. But there's this gift over here. And this gift is very different than Adam's sin. This gift is far surpassing Adam's sin. Adam's sin, it sounds like the worst thing in the world, right? Oh, because it kind of is, right? Because it kind of is. And the consequences of Adam's sin are massive, right? They literally lead to death. There's not much worse than that. But over here, there's this gift. This gift that surpasses all of the brokenness that Adam's sin caused. He says that the results of God's gift of grace is far greater than the results of Adam's sin. Through Adam, the whole boat is sinking. But through Christ and his gift, we can triumph over sin and over death. I want everyone to look at verse 18 and 19. If you like to highlight your Bibles or underline or take notes, this is a place to do it. Can someone read verse 18 and 19 for us, please? Good try, Jackson. Lily?
Consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation to all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous.
Thank you, Lily. We got all areas of life being read. Thank you all for reading today. It says Christ's act of righteousness. Does anyone know what that is? What that could be referring to? Christ's act of righteousness.
Obedience to the cross?
Yes, the cross. The cross. It's because of the cross we can have right relationship with God. You see, we don't put Adam's sin in our church as a symbol. We put the cross as a symbol because the cross is far greater than Adam's sin, right? The cross is greater than any of our sins, amen? So it's the cross that's that act of righteousness. Now, we started talking this morning about an unfair problem, right? It's unfair that we have to deal with the consequences of Adam's sin, right? It's unfair that we are separated from God because of Adam's sin. But an unfair problem has a pretty unfair solution. See, God recognized that there was separation between him and humanity. So what God did is he said, I'm going to bridge the gap. I'm going to become like man and dwell among them. And that's where Jesus comes into play. We cause our separation with God, but God bridged that gap. There's an unfair problem, but there's also an unfair solution. Because you see, Jesus, he never sinned. He never missed the mark. He was never selfish. He never hurt someone. He never broke the law. He didn't do anything wrong. Even when he got angry, he didn't sin. Yet, one innocent man was put to death for the wrongdoings of us all. Is that fair? Is it fair that the one person that didn't do anything wrong has to deal with all our wrong? I want you to picture something. Picture a room full of all the world's anthrax, all the world's diseases, all the world's plagues, all in one room, right? And on the door to that room, there's a big sign that says, "Don't open, you're going to die, and the rest of the world's going to die." And someone comes along, who shall remain nameless, but I think we know who it is, comes along and bursts open the door, and shoo, all the disease, all the plagues, all the anthrax rushes out of that room. But then someone steps in and inhales all the disease, all the death, all the plagues, so it won't have to hurt anyone else. Can you picture that? That's what Jesus did for us. He took all the sin in the world on himself and took it to the cross and then took it to the grave. He put it to death so we wouldn't have to bear it. And that's why communion is heavy. That's why it can be pretty heavy sometimes. I did this thing with my customers this week in Sailors. What I said to them is, I said, if you can name something to me that is free, I'll buy your whole order. I'll just, whatever it is, I'll buy it, right? So each of them said something. And the good news about this little challenge was, first, I was on Express, so there weren't many items. And second, they didn't have much time to respond. But some of the responses I got were interesting. Some people said, oxygen's free, right? But is oxygen really free? No, we need plants to produce oxygen. Some people also said that the sale that was buy one, get one free was free, right? Except for, what do you have to do to get one? So is it really free? And then I had one lady, God bless her, she was smart. I asked her, I said, if you can name one thing that doesn't cost anything, that's free, I'll buy your order. I don't even remember how much her order was, but I remember her smile. Because she gave me a little smile and she said, the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. You know what I said? Nope, that's not right. That wasn't free. Because as Bonhoeffer says, the grace we have in Jesus is costly. It's not free. It's not cheap. That's why communion's heavy, because it did cost something. When we hold the elements of bread and juice, it's a reminder of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. These elements that we hold are a symbol of Christ's sacrifice. You see, even though Adam wrecked the boat and we're all sinking and we're all in trouble, there is hope. Jesus, he's our rescuer. Amen? The passage says that in Christ we have new and eternal life. My friends, isn't that worth celebrating? Is that worth celebrating? Is that worth getting excited over? Amen. And that's what we're going to do this morning when we practice communion. Because of Adam and our own sins, we are on a sinking ship. But because of Christ, it's like we're not even in the water anymore. As we transition to communion, I want this concept to anchor us. That in our sins, we are all in the same boat. But because of Christ, we have been saved. I want to begin communion with a time of silent confession. And in this next few minutes, I encourage you to simply come before the throne of grace and confess your sins to God.